Please open to the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, and one verse, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Good to have Taylor here with us this weekend. She came up to see Billy and Willie, You Are Love program, and we're glad. Billy always looks so much better when she's next to him, I'm telling you. You just can't believe how much better he looks when you're next to him. And we're so thankful she could be with us today. We're glad each one of you could be with us today. I want to try to challenge you with a little truth today about fulfilling your life's purpose. Fulfilling your life's purpose. Every one of you have a purpose in life. Every one of your life counts. You say, oh, I'm not important to God. No, every one of you are important to God. Every one of you. I don't care who you are, where you're from, you're very important to God, and God has a purpose for your life. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 34. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see each one of you. Thank you for coming out on a snowy, wintry day. God bless you. And good to see each one of you. Steffi, it's great to have you and your husband. What's your name? John. John, it's great having you and your wife. I tell you, it's just a blessing to have you. What state are you folks from? Wisconsin. Good state. Wisconsin. Great to have you folks today. Notice what it says there in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him. By the way, that we need to do the will of God. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And notice the last statement he says, and to finish his work. And to finish his work. I want to talk to you about our purpose, the fulfilling the life's purpose that God has for our lives. Father, thank you for letting us be together. Lord, it thrills my heart to see all these people today. Came out on a stormy day. And thank you for all the visitors. Oh, Lord, how we're blessed to have people come and visit our church. Holy Spirit of God, warm their heart from heaven and help them to come back again and again to be with us. Let them see that they'll be loved. And Lord, we care about them, that you love them. And Lord, help us to reach out with the kindness of Christ and the love of Christ, that they would sense that the presence of the Lord would be in this church, be a place for them to be. Bless us now, and Lord, help me to be a blessing to those. Help me to do this message, and Lord, help me to do it well for you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The question is, what is your life's work? What is the work that God wants you to do in your life? What is that? What is it? I'm going to challenge you today. What does God want you to do with your life? When you know what it is, be sure to finish what the work is. You need to do it. Whatever the Lord has put in your heart to do, you should do it for him. Amen? Jesus said in verse 34, I have a work to do. I have a purpose for my life. And the purpose I have for my life, I must fulfill it. And by the way, God's got a purpose for every one of your lives, and you should fulfill it. I believe we all have a purpose from God for our life. I really believe that. Brother Carl, I believe every person here has got a purpose in their life. I believe that with all my heart. My life is no accident. Even though I came up from the streets of Galena and kind of a rough place, and a kid was a kind of a street kid, your preacher. But God had a purpose for my life, and he saved me, and he helped me build a church on Galena Street, and then he's had me here for almost 22 years. I know for a shadow of doubt, Ruthie, I know for a fact that one thing for God's purpose in my life and Rosie is that we were supposed to be here in Ravenna, and we have been for the last almost 22 years. I'm glad that pastoring this church was one of the fulfillments that God had for my life. Now, by the way, my life is no accident. Your life is no accident. I see Brother Bob there. Him and his wife served over 25 years bearing precious seed. God had a thing for them to do, and they did it. Amen? And so what I want to say is, your life is no accident. You ought to be thinking, what does God want me to do with my life? It's more than just eating popcorn and watching cowboy shows. Listen, I wrote, get this. We are not just here to be here. How many got that? We are not just here to be here. There's a reason for us to be here. We have, I believe with all my heart, we have a purpose. There's a reason for our life, John. There's a reason for your life. There's a personal fulfillment that God has for each one of our lives. Jesse, God has goals and dreams for your lives, and he wants you to fulfill them, Jess. He really does. Can anyone say amen? Now, let me just give you some examples, and then I'm going to give you a last challenge to you. I thought about Noah. Noah's the life purpose of Noah was to build the ark. Hello? If Noah don't build the ark, John, he don't save his family. And we're not here either because you're right. No, because he has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And after that flood, the whole world was destroyed. And through those three sons and their three wives, the whole world's repopulated. If he don't build the ark, Jack, they don't make it. Noah don't make it. That's all, folks. Nobody does. Look up here. I want you to get this. I'm trying to make a point to you. God had a purpose in Noah's life. And Noah's life even affected your life. Even though it's thousands of years ago. Can anyone say amen or oh me? Look at the book of Hebrews. I'm going to use two scriptures in Hebrews. I'm going to use two different people. So look at Hebrews 11:7. Look what it says about Noah. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:7. About Noah. By faith, I'm in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. No, it hadn't the flood hadn't come yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I want to tell you right now, thank God for Noah. It's a good thing Noah fulfilled one of those purposes of his life that God gave him. Just think if he would have put off not obeying God and didn't build the ark, no one, when that flood started to come, when that rain came down, they had nowhere to run to. Hello? No one would have survived. Not one living person would have survived. Not even him or his family. I noted this. Sometimes I don't think we realize we can affect other people's lives by not obeying God's will and purpose. I'm glad Noah obeyed God's will. Many times our disobedience can have a far more reaching effect than what we can ever imagine. I mean, God bless Noah. He was faithful, but what if he wouldn't have been? Think about some of these things. I think about stuff like this. Listen, God has a purpose for each of our lives and a reaction for every one of those purposes. Not only does he have a purpose, but he has a reaction for every one of those things. Don't ever think your life is not important to God, because your life is very important to God. And not only that, also your life is very important to someone else, because what you do many times will affect others. Look at Hebrews 11:23. Let's think about Moses' parents. Moses' parents, they were the Amram and Jochebed. That was the name of his parents. His dad was named Amram. His mom was named Jochebed. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, when Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. How many see that? Thank God for Moses' mom and dad, because God had a, had they not obeyed God and protected Moses and let Moses be killed, then if Billy, if he has disobedient parents, Moses dies, and Israel has no deliverer. Hello? Look up here. I want you, how many see that? You don't hear a lot about Moses' mom and dad, Jochebed and Amram. You don't hear a lot about them, but I'm going to tell you right now, their son affected this world. Not only did he affect the nation of Israel, but he affected us. What if they had said, he's not, we'll just let him die. Because we got to kill him. The king gave us, he ordered us to kill him. If we don't, he'd kill us. Hello? I'm glad they didn't. How about you? And while you're there, go to the book of Exodus. I won't have you turn no more. I think I got one more. But look at Exodus chapter 1. Not only Moses' mom and dad had a purpose in life, good thing they did, but if you'll notice Exodus chapter 1, there were a couple midwives, Shapara and Pua. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, wait till we get to heaven, then we'll probably hear another way to pronounce it. None of us got right. Look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. And the king of spake, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of... Now, look, I want you to get something. Billy, God don't always bring out names. Eddie, these ladies were pretty special. You know, we have honorable mention for our football players and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you, God's got these people down as honorable mention because they obeyed God instead of the man. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shapara, and the other name was Pua. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. I like verse 17. But the midwives feared God. We need more people like that today. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. Thank God for those midwives. Annie, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say it. But they could have been the midwives for Moses. It doesn't say it, and I'm not saying they were. But Jordan, these two ladies could have been the midwives for Moses. And God's speaking about them here in the book of Exodus chapter 1. Aren't you glad they did what... See, they had one purpose in life that I know of from the scriptures. To keep those men, keep those boy babies alive. And they kept that one boy baby alive named Moses, we believe. Well, we know he stayed alive. And because Moses lived, Jack, Moses grew up and became the deliverer for the nation of Israel. They spent 400 years in Egypt in bondage. And God raised up Moses to take them out. Hello? But what happens if the midwives or Moses' mom and dad have Moses killed at birth? Then I don't know. But listen, that means Israel could have stayed in Egypt's bondage for years and years and years. Beyond the 400. Hello? How many are with me? Do you see what I'm trying to say? You don't hear about these people too much, but boy, what they did in their life, I'm going to tell you, they're pretty silent, but boy, their actions speak louder than words. Amen? By the way, just to put this in, God don't want any babies to die. These women that kill these babies in abortion, you're hurting your own body, and you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting the child, because God wants those babies to live, all babies. Amen? Come on, amen. Don't become liberal on me. I know it's snowing out today, but God loves those children. I looked at that precious baby last night, and I told Sadie, I said, Sadie, the Bible says children are the heritage of God. Happy is the man has a quiverful. Children are, children are a gift from heaven. Don't despise children. They're a gift from heaven. They're our heritage. Amen? And this country needs to get back to thinking children are precious instead of thinking they're evil and we need to kill them before they're born. That's why I like that one man running for president, Santorum. He believes in not killing babies. I believe he's right. He's got the right thought on that. I don't believe God wants any babies to be killed. And I don't care if they're, I'm not talking about Democrat or Republican. I'm talking about God not wanting babies killed. Care what political party you belong in. It's not a political party. It's reality. God wants the baby to live. By the way, I'm glad my mom didn't abort me. You wouldn't hurt this big mouth for 22 years. Just think all the pizza would have never been ate if I wouldn't have been born. And so thank God for these two precious ladies that were midwives because they feared God. And, you know, and I really believe with all my heart that was it, Lizzie, when they were born. I believe God had preordained that was a purpose for them to protect those babies, maybe even Moses. Amen? You say, well, no one, you don't talk. Hey, we don't have to be in the limelight. Just do the purpose what God wants. I think about the lady, that Sunday school teacher. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived was Dr. Lee Robinson. He's in heaven now, Dr. Lee Robinson. And a Sunday school teacher led him to Christ. Thank God for that Sunday school teacher that was there, that was prepared. You know, I couldn't, right now I used to know her name, but I can't even pull her name up, and I should be able to, but I can't. You get older, you forget some things. Sometimes I forget, Rose, what's your name? I know I'm married to you. Kidding. Boy, you must not drink no coffee yet this morning. Go get a couple donuts or something. Loosen up a little bit. Listen to me. But thank God. Thank God for faithful people that do the purpose of God. Amen? And by not killing that baby, Moses, I put down, look how Moses' life affected Israel and the whole world. Let me give you another couple thoughts. I'll just read these to you. Think about Joseph. He had a life purpose. He was hated by his brothers. Joseph, over in the book of Genesis, he put in a pit, sold off as a slave. Hello? He goes to Egypt. Given to Potiphar. Amen. But he gets thrown in jail. And he didn't do nothing wrong. Then he tells the Pharaoh the dream, and he gets resurrected right next to Pharaoh. Talking about Joseph back in the book of Genesis. And by him telling that dream, he said there's going to be a famine. We're going to save food for 7 years because there's going to be a great famine. Look, you know what the purpose was for that? You think, well, he was there to save Egypt. Duh. You're cuckoo for cocoa puffs. No, he was there to save Israel. God sent him there ahead of time so he could prepare food in Egypt so the nation, the people of Israel, would not perish. All 75 of them. Hello? How many are with me yet? And the one of the greatest purposes for Joseph even though he suffered, was to tell the dream of Pharaoh to provide food for storage to save the nation from starvation, from famine. Hello? How many are still with me? Matter of fact, I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 50 in verse 20. He's talking to his brothers now after his dad died. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is in this day, to save much people alive. I like that verse in front of it, too, verse 19. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. Oh, my. Jack, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the place of God. I want to be in the place where God wants me. I want to be in God. How many want to be in God's will? He said, don't matter I had to suffer. Don't matter I had to go all through all those sufferings. Don't matter I was lied about. Don't matter I was thrown in jail for over 2 years. Don't matter all that. I'm right where God wanted me. I'm doing God's purpose. This is what God's purpose for my life was. And boy, because he fulfilled God's purpose for life, Sean, he provided food and his family did not die in the famine. And the nation of Israel was saved. Amen? And then I think about Hannah. Hannah had a life's purpose, and that was to bear a son. And Hannah had a son, and guess the name was Samuel. And Samuel became a great prophet for God, for Israel. What's the biggest thing you stand out in Hannah's life? Having Samuel. After that, you don't hear a lot about Hannah. Hello? But the most important thing about Hannah's life, God had a purpose for her life, and that was to bear a son, provide God a prophet. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. God has got a purpose for each one of our lives. I don't know what it is for you. You need to find out what it is and then do what God wants you to do. Fulfill the promise and the purpose that God wants for your life. Who'd ever think that God would call a kid off the Galena streets that was almost an alcoholic to preach his word? I'm amazed at that. I think about it all the time. I think about Rosie. I'm on Galena Street. I'm probably 18 years old, right in there. And I'm sitting there drinking believe it or not, even though I was drinking, I'm alcoholic, there was a place called Eda Sweet Shop at the end of the street there. And I was sitting there drinking, younger kids won't know what I'm talking about. But I was sitting there drinking with my buddies a Tutti Frutti. A Tutti Frutti. Oh, Rudy. Bop, 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 bop. Tutti Frutti. Oh, Rudy. How many remember Tutti Frutti? You can't. Remember it was like in a Boston, Cooler Ruthie? Even that, they had different flavors. Kind of like, what's that popular kids drink? It's grape and Coke. And name some of your pops you kids drink. It's kind of like one of those pops. It's the one that you kids drink all the time, too. It's like a Mountain, no, not Mountain Dew. Dr. Pepper. It was kind of, a Tutti Frutti was kind of on the line of a Dr. Pepper. Kind of like. It's the closest thing to get to it. Hey. I'm older than you. Do you remember Dr. Peppers? Amen. Listen, man, Annie, do you remember Tutti Frutti? Sure. Anyways, I'm sitting there drinking a Tutti Frutti with a cherry on top. Here comes Rosie walking in with, got these, back then, they had these big rollers. Oh, my lands, they were huge. Amelia, they were like, oh, my land, I can't. And you put her up, and she looked like a space, like a Martian coming in. And they always put those bandanas around to cover it up. I'm not a Martian. I really am not. I got my hair up in rollers. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And that's where I first met Rosie. And she was there doing next door doing the laundry with her mom And thank God for her mom. And I thought about her mom and dad. No one ever heard too much about John Cockrell. No one ever heard too much about Betty Cockrell. But they raised a great little girl named Rosie. And she's been your preacher's pastor's wife for 22 years or almost. And they raised a little girl. They didn't know it at the time. Oh, John, her daddy was a deacon at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. He helped build the building. Church was about 40 people. But no one ever hears about John and Betty Cockrell. But boy, I'm glad they fulfilled one great purpose. One purpose was to prepare a young girl to be a pastor's wife. How many are still with me? I mean, me and Rosie were complete opposites. And they took me to church. It's the only way I could, it's a miracle they let me go with her. But the only way I could see her is I had to go to church. We went on dates to the church picnic and the church outings. Thank God for those parents. And eventually I got saved. And then God called me to preach. I'm so glad Mom and they're both in heaven now. I'm so glad Mom and Dad Cockrell really fulfilled a purpose in life of preparing a young girl to be a pastor's wife. Rosie's mama was a godly lady. I'm so thankful for those parents. You young people here, you ought to thank God for your parents. You young people today, you ought to tell your mom and daddy you love them today. You ought to give them a hug and tell them thank you for being my mom and daddy. Even you big kids here, you ought to tell your mom and dad that you thank God for them because they brought you up right. And the reason you're in church today is because your mom and dad's bringing you to hear the word of God. I'm always thrilled Jesse brings his son when he has him. You know, make sure the little boy always comes to church when he has him. It's important. Amen? Hannah had a life purpose to raise a son to serve God. And he did, the great mighty prophet. Then I think about Jesse. Jesse gave Israel a king that would guide the nation for 40 years. 33 years in Jerusalem. And I'm talking about King David. David, our great king. But thank God for the Jesse, because I believe one of the greatest purposes in Jesse's life was to bring forth that son that would be king of Israel. Are you still with me? Then I think about David. He has a son named Solomon. And Solomon, well, he wasn't perfect, but one thing about Solomon, when he first started, he started right. And Solomon, he was the wisest man that ever walked on planet Earth. And God gave him wisdom beyond all measure. And I believe one of the greatest things, I believe the purpose of Solomon's life was to build the temple of God, and he did. Oh, he made a lot of mistakes at the end. But you know what? It took him 7 years to build the temple for God. Seven's God's perfect number. But Solomon, before he died, at least he fulfilled. I get a kick out of Solomon. Oh, he wasn't perfect. Hey, Dale, what do you think about a guy that'll take 7 years to build the temple of God and 13 years to build your own house? Oh, my. Didn't have it all focused, did he? But one thing he got right, God said, I want you to build the temple. And he was the right, that God knew Solomon had the wisdom and forthright to build that temple that God wanted. And I believe that's, Jordan, I believe the greatest purpose in Solomon's life was to build that temple. And at least he fulfilled that purpose. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. I've made 5 of them already today in the last 5 minutes. How many are still with me? I think about John the Baptist. He had a purpose in life. He was here. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. John, he was a rough and ready guy. My kind of guy. Man. And by the way, he didn't have all the fashionable clothes that you wear today. Matter of fact, we'd run from him today, John. He didn't have, I'm trying to think of some of the kids you kids wear. Give me a big brand name the kids. What's some of the big clothes you kids wear? What I call John? Help me. Josh, what's some big name clothes? Was it? He wasn't wearing Brooks suits. No, he was wearing camel hair. Amen? But he came out, and you know what he did? He had a purpose in life. One was to point people to Christ. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And he pointed people to Christ. And he also was the one that baptized Christ. His purpose was to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ and to point people to Christ. Got his head cut off. Hello? But he filled his purpose for God. I said all this for one reason. Today, I want to challenge each of you in closing. I want to challenge each of you to seek God's will for your life. I could go on and on for hours just bringing up Bible characters and giving you illustrations. God has a purpose for everyone here today. You think, oh, preacher, he does for Pastor Dave or for somebody else, but not me. I don't mean, no, everyone here, God's got a purpose for your life. Maybe it's to teach in our Christian school. Maybe it's to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or an usher. Maybe it's to work on a bus route. I believe that's one of the closest things to God's heart is a bus route. Maybe it's to be a missionary. We have a Fordham student today. We're so honored to have her today. And we have missionaries all around the world and some in her country. Maybe it might be a preacher's wife. Some of you young kids, preparing your life. Maybe God might call you to be a preacher's wife. Maybe you might be a preacher. Hallelujah. Boy, if it's a preacher's wife, though, God bless you. You'll get your rewards in heaven. I always tell Rosie, you're not getting blessed now, but boy, when you get to heaven, God's got a lot for you. Maybe it's just to raise up godly children. Maybe it's just to raise godly children for the service of Christ. Hello? Maybe it's to help build the work of God. Maybe it's to give needed funds for the work of God. God uses all kinds of... When he built the temple, people were bringing all kinds of things that they needed to build. Monetary things. Hey, maybe sometimes God just brings people to bring monetary things. You might not teach a Sunday school class, but maybe you'll give monetary things. Hello? Listen, God's got a purpose for all our lives. Seek the Lord. Ask him to show you what your purpose in life is, for his glory is. And then once you find it, then do it. Once you find out what God's purpose for, then do it. Now in closing, I just wanted to share this last thing with you. Go back to where we originally started. John, I want you to see a great little truth here. In John 4:34. John 4:34. I want you to notice what Jesus said there. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John says, I've been sent to finish his work. I'm in the Gospel of John. Chapter 4, verse 34, my text verse. Jesus said, I have a work to finish. To finish his work. What was the work that Jesus came for? What was the purpose for his life? The purpose of the life of Christ was one thing. To die for all our sins. Look up here. Christ's whole purpose in life was to be the sacrifice for all mankind. Not just Americans, every person in all the world. Sometimes we get, well, he just died for Americans. He died for the whole world, man. He died for Hitler, even though Hitler didn't receive him as Savior. He died for Hitler. He died for Khrushchev, but even Khrushchev didn't receive him, to my knowledge. He died for every, Mussolini, listen, he died for every person in the world. He died for, listen, he died for me, he died for you. He died for people over in Spain, in Poland, in Africa, in Germany. Look up here. That's why we need to send missionaries around all the world, to all places in the world, because God died for them to be saved. His purpose in life was to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And praise God, he did. How many are glad Christ did? Now, note those last words in verse 34. To finish his work. Do you see that? To finish his work. And Jordan, he did. Because when you look at John 19, 30, when you look at John chapter 19, verse 30, the last words that Christ said, he's on the cross, Billy. He's already suffered from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. He's suffered all the agony. He's taken all the punishment of God, all the Father. He's taken on all our sins. He's bore our sins. And at the end, right before he takes his last breath, on Calvary's cross, he cries out this, Billy, it is finished. I did what I came for. It's finished. The job that God sent me to do here, I did it. I became the sacrifice for all man's sins. I've suffered. I've agonized. And I've done the work. I've done what God sent me to do. It's finished. And the Bible says after he said that, he gave up the ghost. He died. Amen? It's finished. That was Jesus' proclamation. The last words he said, it's finished. Now, will you be able to say those words in confidence like Christ did when you take your last breath of your life? Will you be able to say, it is finished. I've done all that I'm supposed to do for Christ. The Apostle Paul said this, and I close with this statement. In 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I hope when we go through this life that we finish our course. I'm not ready to die yet, Eddie. Not that I'm afraid to die. Because I know the moment I die, I'm going to be, don't cry when I die. I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. But Billy, I've got something yet to do. God gave us 30 acres of land out there on Infirmary Road. And I want to see the property go up and built debt-free. I've got a purpose yet in my life to see the work of God, to see you young people go out there in that 30 acres of land and see that new building, that debt-free that God told us we wouldn't have to borrow no money, that he would provide for it. And I believe he's going to do it. And that's my purpose in life, to see that. And to see you kids have something. If Christ don't come back, have you see, oh, my lands, what you have building on top of building. Once you start building, I probably won't get to see it. But once we start building, we'll never stop building until Jesus comes. And he's going to provide the money. We're not going to borrow 1 cent. He's going to pay for it in cash. Because he's our Jehovah Jireh. He sees and provides. This week, thank God for being your Savior. Then say, Lord, you finished your work. You finished it for me, the cross of Calvary. What is the work that I'm supposed to do while I'm here? Father, what's the work that I'm supposed to finish while I'm here? What's my purpose? We're not just supposed to occupy space and take up air. God has a purpose for every one of our lives, for one of your lives. I don't care if you're a preacher or not. God's got a purpose for every one of you. What is that purpose? I don't know, preacher. Then start asking God. Seek him. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. The Bible says, be still. Be still and know God. Stop and know God. Let God speak to you. He will. If you'll just stop long enough to listen. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for Moses' parents. Thank God for the midwives and all these people I talked about. But they're all gone. Now you're living. Who's counting on us? I'm glad they came through for me. Who's counting on you and me for the days ahead? Let's get our purpose in life done and fulfilled. Let's start building that ark so we're not left out in the rain.